those aren't the only presents under the Christmas tree. I want to know something. You're going to have different presents under your Christmas tree this year, right? And I want to know, what's on some of your Christmas wish lists? Rest? Yeah, a nap. Could I just have a nap under the Christmas tree? That would be great. What else? Huh? New tires? COVID to go away? Amen on that one. Maybe it's keys to a new car. Maybe it's for us hunters and a nice gift card to Cabela's or Sportsman's Warehouse, something like that, right? Steelers to win the Super Bowl. We want that in. I think many of us, though, would identify with a lot of celebrities in a strange way. Whenever you ask a celebrity, what do you want? What's the one thing you want? I always think of Miss Congeniality, Sandra Bullock. World peace. You know, it just comes out. You know, that's what they want. World peace. And that's what we're craving this year, I think. Because this year has left us realizing that there is something wrong with this world. There's something broken, deeply fractured, something missing. The hearts of all humanity, whether you're a Christian or an atheist or some other world religion, whether you are a conservative or a liberal, whether you are young or old, whether you are in our nation or around the world, we are all craving one thing. The hearts of humanity are craving one thing. Peace. I think that's truly what we're all craving. And I wonder, have we known peace? So I did a little research. Over the past 3,400 years, we're talking 1,400 years before Christ came to earth. Since then, how many years of peace do you think we've had? We have had some years. Anybody willing to wager a guess? Three? Okay, it's more than three. More than 33. Okay, you've used up all your guesses. 268. 268 years of peace, over 3,400 of them. Let me clarify this. War is the norm for us. Upheaval. Ill ease throughout the globe. There has not been a single, there have only been 268 single years where there has not been war somewhere on this globe over the since recorded history started. 3,400 years. That's our legacy. Peace? I think we know nothing of it. Or very little. 92% of the past three millennia have been at war. Wow. Defined by Merriam-Webster's dictionary, peace is a state of tranquility or quiet, freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, harmony in personal relations, or a state or period of mutual concord between governments. And that's what we think of as the textbook definition of peace, but that can't be the peace that we're longing for. Because if all we were looking for is that first thing, a state of tranquility or quiet, we could do it like this. If we plug our ears and close our eyes, nothing is gonna impact us and we have peace, right? So that's all we would need to do. I'm pretty sure that's not what we want. If we were wanting freedom from disquieting or oppressive thoughts or emotions, here's a simple answer. Stop thinking about it. Just stop thinking. Isn't ignorance bliss? And if all we wanted was a ceasing of hostilities in relationships, whether that's personally or nationally, this is all we have to do. Be passive. Let them do whatever they want. Don't resist it. Then you have peace. Right? No, that's not the peace we want. That's not the peace we want. We want peace, not the peace we commonly consider. That's why Christmas is such great news. I want to look at the news that was announced by the angels to the shepherds. We've looked at the wise men. We've looked at the shepherds. Now I want to look at the angel. And what they announce to those shepherds in what seems like just a few words, but they are so packed with beautiful truth about peace. And that's in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 13. It says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he is pleased.'" They say, on earth peace, peace. This child, they just announced to the shepherds that the Christ child was born and they're going to find him. And then they open up and declare with this bold declaration that there will be peace on earth. They're saying Jesus came to bring peace. Jesus came to bring us the peace that our hearts are so hungry for. And this was a fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah said about this Messiah, about this child that was going to be born. In Isaiah chapter 9, starting in verse 6, it says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And get this, "Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end." This is found in Christ and Christ alone. This child that would be born would bring wholeness and total restoration to humanity. Jesus came to bring peace. He even said it himself. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled. Neither let them be afraid." Now this begs us to ask one simple and difficult question. Did he? Did he bring peace? Because the world hasn't known peace since he left. If Jesus brought to bring peace the way you and I think about it, he failed miserably, didn't he? Think about this. Since he left, we have had two major world wars. We have known very little peace in that time frame. We have had economic decline. We have seen people starving to death and poverty on the increase. Now, fact checkers are going to say, "Now, wait a second. Over the past few years, things have been going up." Yeah, but that's not the common trend over the past 2,000 years. So maybe the problem isn't that Jesus didn't bring peace. Maybe it's we don't understand the peace he brought. So I want to take a moment and uncover that. What is this peace? We hear about the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." Is that what Jesus came to bring? Peace. But the word peace is pretty common throughout the world, isn't it? We talk about peace treaties, times of peace, and pretty much what we're talking about is things being calm, not war, not fighting. But the peace of the Bible is so much more than that. It's not only the absence of war, it's something better in its place. It's the word we know as shalom. If you've been in Christian circles or you're familiar with Jewish society, they actually say shalom aleichem, peace to you, my brother. The word shalom is so packed with meaning, more than just what we think of as peace. In some examples of this word showing up, it shows up in places we might not expect. Like when God is telling Joshua how to make an altar, he says, "Use shalom stones." Peace stones? What in the world is a peace stone? A shalom stone has nothing to do with peace. It means whole. It means it hasn't been cut. It means it's not broken. It means it is a complete whole stone, no part of it missing, everything in its place and as it should be. Or when they are building back a wall like Nehemiah, the whole wall is at shalom. It's at peace. It's the way it should be. There's no gaps in it, no holes, no places, no breaches that the enemy can get through. Or when Job counts all his sheep and his tents are in a state of shalom because not one of them is missing. Shalom. Or in Exodus, if your cattle went into your neighbor's property and ate their crops, you would make shalom with him by restoring everything that your cattle destroyed. You would restore and replace to wholeness. It's the concept of complete and everything being as it should be. So when it talks about a person, it's talking about our wholeness, our well-being, not just physical, but spiritual as well. Life is a complex system of moving pieces, isn't it? And if just one of them is missing, if one of them is out of place or not functioning, everything breaks down and shalom is lost. It needs to be restored. That is what the angels are announcing to those shepherds. Shalom on earth among people with whom God is pleased. They're not just promising peace, but all things to be right in the world. We long for wholeness in ourselves, in our relationships, in our communities, and in everyone around us in the world. Jesus came to bring shalom, to bring that peace. And it begins with restoring our relationship with God. Look again at what the angels said. They say, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, shalom, among those with whom he is pleased." It starts with our relationship with God. Jesus came to bring peace with God. Not just any peace. It starts with our relationship with God. Peace with God. The peace Jesus brings starts with peace with God. Jesus made peace between messed up humans and perfect and holy God by making up for our sins and replacing the righteousness and wholeness we lost from sin. Jesus restored to wholeness that broken relationship. Paul says in Romans 5:1, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus was the whole, complete human being that I needed to be, but yet failed so miserably in being. And as a gift, he gives me his wholeness, his completeness, his life to make that relationship restored to wholeness. That is the peace that Christ gives us. Jesus brings peace with God. "For he himself is our peace," Paul says in Ephesians 2. "He is our peace, who has made us both one and has broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility." How does he do this? "By abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace." Shalom. But he did not just give us this gift for us to hold on to. Yes, it is a gift from God that he gives us this peace with God, but it is not just to stop with us. He gives us his peace for us to be peacemakers, to pass that peace and wholeness to others. Look again at what the angels sang. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." Look, the only way for there to be peace among is if there is peace between. The only way for there to be peace among God's people is for there to be peace between God's people. This is not wholeness. This is not shalom. This is not the peace God brought to the world to have technical difficulties. Jesus not only brings peace, he not only brings peace with God, but he also brings peace amongst his people. Jesus brings peace amongst his people. Living in peace with God brings peace to our other relationships. Look, I know what Christmas is going to be like for some. You're going to be missing family members that used to sit around that table. You're going to be missing family that could be sitting around the table, but they can't because they're stuck at home. You're going to be missing family members that used to be there, but now are seated around the table with Christ. And some of us, we're going to be missing family members that are now separated from God for eternity. That's hard to have peace, isn't it? Jesus brings peace among his people. We have peace with each other. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man's ways please the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Get this. You're going to be sitting around the table with some people that you wish weren't there. It's okay. You can laugh. Just don't point. I remember Christmases where there were fights around the table. I won't say which of my family members because they might be watching. And if our way is pleasing to God, if we have peace with Him, even our enemies will be at peace with us. Can you say that? No? Thank you. Whoever was honest, thank you. Neither can I. But this is what shalom is all about. To heal a broken relationship, that's making shalom. That's part of what Jesus brought into this world when he was born that Christmas day. When this shalom happens between warring nations, they don't just set down their arms and stop fighting. At the end of World War II, documents were signed, nations stopped warring, but there was still restoration to be made. And it's not just stopping fighting. It is working together to benefit one another. It's an economic growth. It's saying, I want to take care of you. I want to be part of restoring to you what this took from you, what was missing, that wholeness. That is shalom. Paul instructs the church in Ephesus to be eager to maintain the unity of peace in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 3. Eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. How? How can we do that? Well, let's take a look at the context here. At the verse before, it says this. It has to do with, and we do this with all humility, gentleness, patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Paul is describing those things that make for peace, elements of a peaceful world that is complete in shalom. Imagine this. Imagine a world where everybody is humble. They consider others as more important than themselves and put their needs first. Imagine a world where everyone is gentle, where we don't use aggressive words and we don't use violence. We're all self-controlled and reasonable with each other, where we're all patient. We don't have an agenda or a schedule for you to keep where you should be right now and what you should be doing. Imagine that world where everybody is bearing with one another in love. It was rooted in a motivation. Everything that we have done, everything that we say is rooted in the motivation of love and caring for others. Can you imagine that world? What a peace that would be. To steal a line from the Beatles, you may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I dream of a world like this. I think we all do. Imagine that world. That's the shalom Jesus came to bring. A peace far superior to anything we have ever known in our massive 268 years of peace in the world. We have never known a peace like that. I'm looking forward to it. How about you? God wants us to be peacemakers. And to be a peacemaker, that means that we are participating in Jesus' mission. When in his mission, for in him, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. Look, the only reason the manger scene has any importance or significance is because of the scene on Calvary. If it was just baby Jesus in a manger and nothing more than the cross, we rob the cradle, the manger, of its glory. Because it was on that cross that peace was made. It was because he died in our place that peace has any domain in this world. He made peace. And when we are peacemakers, we get to participate in that. When we bring shalom, when we bring wholeness and completeness to others, that does include physical, but let's not lose the focus. It's spiritual as well. We are participating in that mission of Christ. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. Peace takes a lot of work. It's hard. It is more than just not fighting. I mean, that's pretty easy. Like I said earlier, you just plug your ears, close your eyes, and just avoid other people and you're fine. That could be peace. But the shalom I'm talking about means restoring the brokenness and bringing wholeness to our own lives, to the lives of our relationships, and anywhere else we encounter brokenness in God's creation that does not match up with God's original design. In truth, it's a work far beyond our capacity. We can't do it. We can't accomplish it in this life. It is working in this world in only a fraction of what it one day will be. But we can begin to see its traces in the here and now. We get that little foretaste, the teaser trailer of that peace that's coming. What those angels told those shepherds reveals the hope of a peace to come. Let's look at it one more time. What the angels said. Where they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. They're saying it's coming. That peace is coming. This promises that Jesus will one day bring peace to the earth. Jesus will one day bring peace to the earth in its totality. Now, I can't say that Jesus came to bring peace the first time. That does not agree with what he says. It doesn't agree with his mission in totality. It's contrary to him. Although one of the designations of Jesus that we saw in Isaiah, one of the names, Prince of Peace, his first coming was not for the sake of bringing peace. He says in his own words, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword." Wow. Baby Jesus in a manger said that? Yes. Why? He goes on to say, "For I have come to set a man against his father and daughter against her mother and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household." Jesus did not bring peace in the dictionary sense of the word. He brought peace with God, which will by nature bring division between those who are at peace with God and those who are at war with him. Make no mistake, there are people in this world who are at war with God. But there are also those who are at peace with him. And we should be at peace with each other in that moment, in that part of our relationship. It was during probably the darkest time in this nation's history when literally a person's enemy were members of their own household. Brother pitted against brother. One might find himself drawn up on battle lines facing members of his own family tree. It was the American Civil War. It was during that time, right in the middle of that war, that one of the greatest American poets, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, wrote a poem that is now immortalized in one of our Christmas carols, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." I still can't sing it to this day without blubbering like a baby. And we could just to understand that context, but once you understand the context of what was going on in Henry's life, it takes on a whole lot deeper of meaning. A year before writing this song, his darling wife of 18 years passed away in a house fire. A year after that, his eldest son signed up to the Union Army against his father's wishes and was wounded almost to the point of death. And so Henry writes, "In despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." He remarks earlier in the poem about the church bells ringing out this message of peace on earth. And in the middle of war, there's hatred and bitterness in a country that there seems to be absolutely no peace at all. Sound familiar? And we have no clue what it was like then. Personally, experientially. We understand historically what was going on, right? But the lack of shalom at that time, we haven't sensed anything like it since. Praise God. And when he had his own peace shaken, he writes these words, "There is no peace on earth." What are you talking about? Peace on earth? And I find myself feeling the same thing, and that's why his last refrain of this poem is so important. Hear this. The angel's song of peace echoes louder than the scorn of hatred. Get this. He says, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill towards men." Peace isn't over yet, folks. Wholeness is coming. Shalom is on its way. That's what Christmas is all about for us to understand when it comes to peace. It's not over yet. We might be warring today, but peace is coming. So long as God lives, so does our hope for shalom and peace. One day, the peace Jesus brought, beginning with our relationship with God, that he is currently manifesting in our relationship with each other, that will finally spread throughout all creation. And we will finally have the shalom peace in our hearts are hungering for. That's the peace that's talked about in Revelation chapter 21. I just want to read this to you. It's beautiful. "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people. And God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away.'" Shalom. That's the peace I'm looking for and waiting for. That's the wholeness we are longing for. It's internal, external, total, and eternal. Lasting forever. Total wholeness, nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing out of place. No one out of place. For those who welcome the peace that Jesus offers, they have complete wholeness. Peace with God, peace with others. Guess what? Even peace with ourselves, because sometimes my worst enemy is the guy looking at me in the mirror, and he's bringing peace with him too. I'm looking forward to that day. There is no more pain, no more suffering, no more war, no more disease, no more pandemic, no more politics, nothing, no tension or conflict. Just peace. Jesus came to bring peace. Not in the dictionary definition of the word. Not in the peace that every celebrity and politician totes as their tagline. He came to bring the true lasting peace, the wholeness that we lost because of sin. He came to restore that. First in our relationship with God, then our relationships with others. And one day there will be complete peace, complete wholeness. And that peace with others can only happen if we have peace with God. Otherwise, it's only an armistice, a ceasefire. It must be wholeness. This Christmas, look for Jesus restoring wholeness. It might only be in part. You might only get glimpses of it, but that's him saying, "I'm not done yet. Wholeness is on its way." Those places where you are seeing the missing pieces, he says, "I will restore." Jesus came to bring shalom. Pray with me. God and Father, thank you for peace. Thank you for being the Almighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Wonderful Counselor, the Prince of Peace. Lord, this Christmas, may we know that shalom, that wholeness. Lord, if there are any here that do not know it already, God, would you bring them to the point of being restored? May they know the peace their heart is hungering for. Lord, some of them aren't ready yet. I understand that. But Lord, would you give them the greatest gift? Peace with you. Because that brings peace in everything in our life. It flows through it. Lord, may there be peace on earth. We pray for that peace. That one day you promised you would wipe away every tear from our eyes, that there would be no more suffering or pain. God, we look forward to that day. May it come quickly. We are sick of the brokenness of this world. We need the wholeness that only you can provide. Lord, would you bring us shalom? In Jesus' name, amen.